Radio Prague News.
The Communist Party elects a new leader to replace Chairman Miroslav Grebeniček. Former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross begins work at a private law firm on Monday, and Czech coach Karl Bruckner names the World Cup qualifiers squad. The Central Committee of the main opposition Communist Party accepted the resignation of its longtime leader, Miroslav Grebeniček, on Saturday and elected Deputy Chairman Wojtek Filip as his replacement by a wide margin. Grebeniček had led the largely unreformed Communist Party since 1993. He had announced his intention to step down several weeks ago, citing his displeasure with the centrist direction the party was taking. Wojtek Filip, the newly named Communist Party leader, is seen as a pragmatic politician whose primary goal is to end the party's isolation in parliament. Former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross, who resigned as chairman of the center-left Social Democratic Party on Friday, will begin work as a trainee lawyer in a private firm starting this Monday. At age 35, Gross was the youngest prime minister in Europe until he stepped down in April. He had been under heavy pressure to do so following questions about his personal finances, including how he paid for his luxury Prague apartment. In an interview for the Pravo Daily published on Saturday, Gross said that in private practice he would avoid legal cases relating to serious financial or organized crime. Mr. Gross said that as a former interior minister, he considered it unethical to handle such cases. In other political news, German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder has pledged to help Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek and his party, the Social Democrats, ahead of the June 2006 elections. Paroubek told journalists after dining with Schröder in Prague on Friday evening that his German counterpart vowed to dispatch several members of his election team to Prague before Christmas to help the center-left Social Democrats prepare election tactics. The Czech national football team coach Karl Bruckner has named a 20-man squad for their forthcoming World Cup qualifiers. The most notable absentee is striker Jan Koller, who has a knee ligament injury which is likely to keep him sidelined for around 6 months. He will be replaced by Jiří Steiner, who last played for the Czech team in the spring of 2004. The Czechs face the Netherlands at home on October 8th. And finally, the weather. Light rain and daytime temperatures in the mid-teens is the forecast for the coming days. I'm Brian Kennedy. That's all the news for now.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. In today's show, Magazine brings you the stories which don't make the front pages, including this week a bridge for squirrels and a steam engine Grand Prix. We take our regular look at the Czech language, and later in the program we meet a couple from Sri Lanka who recall their days as students in the Prague of the 1960s. But first it's time for all kinds of strange stories in the company of Daniela Lazarova, who joins us now with this week's magazine.
The Czech town has built a 10,000-euro bridge to protect a handful of squirrels from a busy road, without even knowing whether they would use it. The mayor of Sokolov, the town in question, said people had reported seeing dead squirrels on the busy road, and he himself had found two. "I felt it was high time to do something," Karel Jakobet said. The result is a construction that is believed to be unique in the world, a 7-meter-high cable bridge attached to two trees now spans the road dividing a large park. The idea is that instead of going down trees and crossing the road to get to the other side of the park, the squirrels would go up and across. "But we don't really know if it'll work," Jakobet said. The town has already arranged for more squirrels to be brought to the area from an animal rescue centre and hopes that the squirrel population in the park will grow. It's an idea that the locals have welcomed. The only thing that has left many people shaking their heads in disbelief is how a cable bridge attached to two trees could have cost 10,000 euros. The bulk of the financing was provided by the Staropramen Brewery as one of 10 grants it awarded for ecological projects. The rest was put up by the town council. The past week has revealed horrific practices at some supermarket chains. First, food inspectors closed down a hypermarket run by the Dutch chain Ahold because the store was infested with mice. We found a lot of mouse droppings, chewed groceries and mice, both dead and alive, on the floor, one of the inspectors said. Ahold now faces a fine of several hundred thousand crowns, or tens of thousands of euros. Before shoppers had recovered from this news, inspectors discovered that the Julius Meinl supermarket chain was selling rotten food. When products such as ham or salami were way over their pass-by date, a Meinl store in České Budějovice would simply have them taken to a back room and washed in salt and vinegar to cover up the signs that the food was going bad. Saleswomen were then ordered to grease some of the products with oil so that they would appear to be fresh. Inspectors found the store selling salami, the pass-by date of which was originally May of this year. When the mold was visible on a product, we had to cut those bits off and put it back on sale, said a sales girl who no longer works for the store. The shock revelations have resulted in a crackdown on food stores across the country, and Czech consumers are now studying the products they buy very carefully indeed. Maggie Lehar from the town of Pardubice is a perfectly normal 14-year-old, interested in computers, girls and football. There's just one thing that makes him special. He has six fingers on his right hand, all of them perfectly formed and fully functional. It's not something people normally notice, Maggie says, and in many ways he sees it as an advantage. He works faster on the computer, finds it easier to play musical instruments, and says he handles things better. The only disadvantage, really, is when it comes to buying gloves, so his grandmother just knits them for him. Maggie's mother says that nobody in the maternity hospital noticed that her son had six fingers, and neither did she. It was only when she brought him home and let his elder brother play with him that he ran into the kitchen and said, "Mom, Maggie's got six fingers." I didn't believe him, of course, Maggie's mother admits. In fact, I made him go back and count three more times before I went to check for myself, and he was right. People attended the wine harvesting celebrations in and around Karlstein Castle last weekend. There was plenty of young wine, the so-called burchak, and tables groaned under the weight of good food, as befits a celebration presided over by Emperor Charles IV and his court. The royal procession arrived on horseback in period costumes, and when the cameras stopped clicking, they sat back to enjoy the performances of fencers, jesters, musicians and magicians who were there to amuse the company throughout the 2 days. Minister Vyacheslav Jandák says he wants to build a special old-age home for artists. The minister, who refuses to have a spokesman, saying that he was well able to communicate with the media himself, unveiled the plan in the course of a television debate last week. Himself an actor, Jandák said he had seen many famous Czech actors who had been stars in their heyday and spent the last years of their lives alone and in dire poverty. The minister said that actors age differently from other people who simply took up hobbies to fill their time with. Actors lived their lives on stage, and when they were no longer needed or wanted, they had a harder time finding a new purpose in life. According to the minister, the old age home for artists could be planned and decorated by artists themselves, and once filled, its inhabitants could put together an ensemble and continue acting for the sheer joy of it. They could travel around other pension homes or put on a performance for whoever was interested. Czech Republic is the winner of the Steam Engine Grand Prix, which took place in the Hungarian capital Budapest on September 18th. Steam engines huffed and puffed around the track as the crowd admired the freshly renovated old locomotives. Steam engines from across Europe competed in several disciplines: how smoothly they could start off, gather speed, how fast they could go, and how quickly they could stop at short notice. Hooting was, of course, of equal importance. Nothing like a few well-pitched hoots as the steam loco sets on its way. Czech engine driver Miroslav Svozil, driving the Rosnička at a maximum speed of 90 kilometers per hour, won not just the Grand Prix, but the admiration of hundreds of visitors who came to watch this unusual contest. She may be ancient, but Miroslav says Rosnička is simply the love of his life.
Thank you, Daniela Lazarova. A reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. I'm joined now by Pavla Horáková, who takes her regular look at the Czech language in the ABC of Czech.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech, in which this season we discuss words and expressions related to Czech food and cuisine. Earlier this year we looked at some food-related idioms, and I promised you second helpings. So today, with the assistance of
Zuzana Durčáková,
we'll be looking at some other Czech sayings connected with food. If someone is very choosy about their food and likes all the best things, we can say he or she is
Mesný.
Finicky, picky about one's food. We can say such a person has
Mesný jazyček.
A finicky little tongue. We can even say
Chlupatý jazyček.
A hairy little tongue. If someone is very picky indeed, we say the person is
Mesný jako koza.
Picky as a goat. Are goats really choosy? Please let me know if you think it's true. If you're hungry or looking forward to a meal to the extent that your mouth is watering, you can say
Zbíhají se mi sliny.
Literally, my saliva is running together. If you want to describe in an expressive way that you really enjoyed your meal, you can say
Dělali se mi boule za ušima.
Bumps grew behind my ears. Don't ask me where that saying comes from, but it's still alive and widely used. Maybe it's to say that you chewed too eagerly, which brings us to another idiom. If you are looking for a bite to eat, preferably something yummy, you can say you are looking for
něco na zub,
something for the tooth. Our wise ancestors came up with an educational saying to prepare young brides for what married life is all about, and that is
láska prochází žaludkem.
The way to the heart is through the stomach. When the initial billing and cooing is over, in Czech,
cukrování,
literally sugaring, we need to find other things to sweeten up our life with.
Osladit si život.
And that's all for today, but we'll bring you more in next week's lesson. Until then,
dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
Pavla Horáková there with the ABC of Czech. Now for an unusual one-on-one in which Kay Grigar meets two people, a couple from Sri Lanka.
In today's one-on-one, I am speaking with Nandini and Asaka Verasingh, both successful professionals in Alberta, Canada, due to hard work and a good education, which started with a scholarship to study in Prague. Nandini studied medicine at Charles University and Asaka engineering at Prague's Technical University. Prague is where they met. They eventually went on to complete their studies in Western Europe, emigrated to Canada, and finally got married in their home country of Sri Lanka. They came to Czechoslovakia during the big changes of the mid-1960s. Many doors that closed for Czech students with the Soviet invasion of 1968 remained open for foreign students, granted they were successful in their exams. They had only 1 year of intensive study to grasp the complexities of the Czech language. Now they are visiting the Czech Republic again for the second time since their days as students here. Though eager to eat Czech food and drink Czech beer, the idea was not always so appealing for them. Asaka begins with his first impressions of Prague.
I arrived September 4th of 1964. My first impression was it's very cold, although it was, now I know, it not the coldest period. However, coming from a tropical country and just stepping outside of the airport, I felt this cold all over my body. The second thing I found was that it is a well-organized place compared to Sri Lanka. People provided whatever the information to us and treated us in a very organized manner.
As he said, that because the weather change is a drastic change for me. And also because I didn't have the proper clothing, even though we tried in Sri Lanka to get some clothing, I didn't want to be out of place. So actually I had a winter coat found in Sri Lanka, which was actually some mink coat, which I didn't know how much worth it is, and I just threw it because nobody else was wearing it. The other thing was found is the food. The food was so much different, and our food is very spicy, as you know. There was no spice at all in Czech food, so I was not able to eat it for the first few months. And then the language, of course, and then the cultural differences that we have, Czech culture, which is a Western type of culture.
I've heard this before from students studying here from Asia and Africa. The weather is cold, the food is bland, but more so than these basic yet important elements, did you find the culture oppressive in any way?
It took me a while to realize how the political situation, it is impacting the culture, so forth and so on. Fortunately, we were sent to a language center, and the teachers and the staff were very understanding, and they explained to us, even sometimes the sign language, they might say that is not exactly the way we should use that language in Czechoslovakia.
The way that we say yes and no. I think when I went to the doctor got confused because the way I said no, my head turned different way than it should have been in Czechoslovakia. So he got all confused, then he corrected me. In Sri Lanka is, I think, very close society. The girls did not really have that much freedom. They had to be always escorted by parents. There, of course, the women and the men, they could go anywhere at any time, and there was a nightlife. I was from village, so I wasn't exposed to the glamour or the town life in Sri Lanka anyway.
So in a way for you, it wasn't oppressive at all. It was in a way completely opening up different avenues for a female. Can I say that?
Yes, different way of life, totally. I think better in a way. So it was a little difficult initially, but we got adapted very quickly.
Did you notice the gradual liberalization of Czechoslovakia in the late 60s under General Secretary Alexander Dubček?
I noticed dealing with the students, when we had the opportunity to talk one-on-one basis, they sort of indicated their desire to perhaps visit other countries explore the other countries and perhaps even go and study in the other countries or work in other countries. The rules were such, as a foreign student, I didn't have any problem. During my vacation, I could go to other countries and come back. And I saw the vast interest of my Czech colleagues to perhaps do the same thing. When it comes to the Prague springtime 1968, people were very much excited about the new opportunities they may be getting.
How did the invasion in 1968 change you? And how did that affect your studies or affect your goals?
I wouldn't say it really affected us particularly, because as foreign students, there was no political pressure on us. Actually, as long as we didn't do anything against the Czech government, even as far as our freedom goes, it didn't really change because we are foreign students. The same rules did not apply. Of course, for the Czech students and the other Czech people, I think that their freedom got affected.
Despite there being a rule that you couldn't protest the government, did you end up protesting at all?
Well, I participated in a student protest. It was a spontaneous situation. Strahov, where I lived during my studies, there was an electrical power failure on a continuous basis, and that was the examination time, and I could say the students were very frustrated. Obviously, the first few days we all took easy and went for a few beers and came home, but when it is coming closer to the exams, we realized that constant power failures were creating a havoc in our studies. So students said, let's go and complain to the president. And we just all started to walk towards Ratchani, and the authorities didn't like it very much. Students were arrested, and they were even baton charged during that time. Perhaps that was the beginning, after all, on some events after that, because the people realized that that they can't even show their displeasure on a simple thing like constant power failure, and they were deprived of their studies.
Were you able to forge lasting relationships with some of your Czech colleagues?
I left in 1972. The Czech government really didn't like any Czech people having any contacts with the Western world. Because of that, Czech friends did not want us to write to them. So that was very sad.
I agree with Nandini's comment. But during the five-year period I spent there, I had very good memories of my fellow students. They were very helpful. We had a lot of fun together. I think we visited a lot of pubs and that kind of thing together, and spare time. One of my friend or roommate, he was feeling very bad that I had to spend the first Christmas all by myself here at the hostel, and he sent me a ticket to come and visit his hometown. Looking back, that's one of the greatest gifts I got, and unfortunately, I don't know where he is. And not only that, some of these roommates, when they go back home, they don't have a lot, but some of the homemade food, they always shared with us as a true friend. For me, those were the days we always struggling to exist with very limited resources. And here is a Czech roommate of mine. He comes and bring, instead of two pieces of beef he brought in from home, he shared, give me one and say, here, enjoy it. So for me, that tells a long story of what is a true friendship.
And that brings us to the end of today's show here on Radio Prague. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.